Well, I'm a postdoc fellow, which means that I'm working, I've been postdoctoral research. I finished my PhD, and now I'm working with quite an amazing team at UKZN, and we specialize in using visual methods, storytelling, like, you know, all different types, photography, drawing, asset mapping, all different ways of opening up dialogues with communities and seeing how to catalyze social change in different settings.
So let's look at catalyzing social change and being able to do it through a rather unique form of storytelling.
Yes, well, that's what I specialize in. I specialize in digital storytelling.
Yeah.
And it's an emerging method. And it's quite an amazing tool because it's a way of combining storytelling, which we have strong traditions in South Africa of storytelling, and we combine that tradition with video production technology.
Okay.
So we go into communities, often rural communities, where people don't often have a chance to share their stories.
Yeah.
And we run a workshop and teach them how to use this tool to tell us about their lives and their experiences. And they do this by taking photos and doing drawings or making short videos and combining them in a software application that creates a short video of about 2 to 3 minutes, which is called a digital story.
So explain to us how that would work. And I know that you are working specifically in the HIV and AIDS environment. And I think that...
Yes.
That if we go back in history to some early days of that, there was, of course, the concept of the memory box, which was so much about taking stories and holding them for future families, etc. How are you doing that?
Well, how are we taking stories and holding them?
How are you using storytelling to engage in the HIV and AIDS environment?
Yes, well, the work that I'm doing for TV at the moment is mostly around sexual violence.
Yeah.
But we also are involved in HIV research, and in particular we're working up in rural KZN.
Yeah.
And in that community. And, you know, so we get people to talk to us, you know, in a workshop format. We ask them questions about how they experience HIV in their lives and in their communities. And we ran, you know, I'm speaking particularly about a project called Adherence Stories. And we created 20 stories through 2 workshops.
Yeah.
And then once those stories were made, then we showed them at local healthcare clinics and also in what you call focus group discussions.
Yeah.
And we actually did 151 screenings. So we really reached a lot of people, at least 1,600 people through these stories.
Yeah.
And then we really found that people started to speak more around HIV and also about adherence. We're looking at adherence particularly to ART, which is a really difficult, you know, and not always easy for others to understand the difficulties that people encounter in the home space and in the community space, accessing medicine and adhering to medicine, particularly in the context of HIV stigma, where sometimes family members don't even know that their mother or sister or someone living in the home is even infected. So just trying to see how do people negotiate that.
So when we talk, Astrid, when we talk about storytelling, and the reason I'm raising this is in doing the research around the story, I saw some amazing images, drawings that had been done. The one was a drawing of someone who had done a picture or a drawing of their mother after their mother had passed. And really amazing.
Yes.
And I'm assuming she's got crutches. So that is one way, is like a physical way of telling a story, is through drawing.
Yes.
Another way could be, for example, through writing a story. Another way could be through the way Nina Mhlophe looks at stories. Another way could be the way Lebo Mashile looks at stories, and so forth and so forth and so forth. Are you going with specific ways of telling the story, or is there any way someone could tell their story?
Well, we focus on visual ways of telling stories.
Okay.
Because we are visual groups, so and we find that particularly in contexts where there's low literacy levels or there are language barriers, or when you're talking particularly about a sensitive topic like HIV, a stigmatized topic about like HIV or sexual violence, we find that visual methods really help to support storytelling in these contexts and allow people to talk more freely, and also it can be a healing process. Engaging in this visual process can be a transformative process for the storyteller and for the people who hear the story. And yeah, and we use a lot of drawings because we work with youth a lot of the time, and they enjoy the artwork. Yeah. And also because it's a way of creating stories without sharing the person's identity, so it can be an anonymous story.
So that takes me to the question, because I did wonder, I read a term, faceless storytelling, and I was wondering if you could just explain that a little further.
Yes, I mean, it's kind of a contradiction in a way. One of the contradictions in our work, because a lot of this work is around, I don't know if to use the word empowering, but it's a way of finding a platform for people who don't often have a chance to speak in the public realm to share their stories and share their voices heard.
Yes.
And yet ethics committees are very worried about this kind of work and about exposing people to further harm or other people finding out about their status. So most of the time these stories are anonymous, and that can be quite contentious. There is a difficulty there, but I think as ethics committees become more used to these kind of methods, they're becoming more open to the fact that people can have their name on the story if they want to. They don't have to. So a lot of the stories we create are faceless stories where people use drawings and anonymous photography, like symbolic photography, to tell the story rather than using a video of themselves or their family.
So you did, in fact, do some research around how people responded to the anonymous storytelling, and as you say, the faceless photography, where faces weren't shown in any kind of a way.
Yes.
Some people thought it was absolutely excellent because they knew that they wouldn't be exposed, but a couple of your other participants thought that the childlike drawings would not be taken seriously.
Yes.
I'm not convinced about that. I mean, I look at these stories and I go, I don't know if an adult drew these or a child drew these, but they very simply tell something which is very emotive, actually.
They are very emotive.
And so just to take that further, how do you respond to those who say, no, we're not impressed with this, like no adult's going to take those drawings seriously?
Well, I mean, people are entitled to their opinion, and if someone doesn't want to, don't feel comfortable engaging with those stories, that's okay. But overwhelmingly, we found that people did engage with them.
Yeah.
That was the major finding of the project, was that these exposure to these stories opened up incredible dialogue around topics that people don't often engage with, like HIV and also adherence to other chronic medication, which is also difficult, you know. So people did engage with them, and they did relate to the story. So although there were some, that's okay, you know.
Yeah.
They're entitled to have that opinion.
Yeah. How are you going to take this project further forward?
Well, our current work involves investigating sexual violence and addressing sexual violence in rural KwaZulu-Natal, in the central Drakensberg. So that work continues. And in terms of HIV work, we're busy raising funding at the moment to specifically work with adolescent girls living with HIV to address HIV stigma. Because there's a big link between experiences of stigma and accessing healthcare. So we want to work with the girls to see what kind of support they need to be able to access healthcare more readily, and support from their parents, and also what kind of coping strategies and styles that they like to develop to do that more easily. So that's our current work.
And if people are interested in getting hold of you on this, how do they do it?
Well, I'm based at the Centre for Visual Methodologies for Social Change that you can sit in. So they can contact me through that office.
Yeah.
It's 031-260-3935.
Yeah. Okay, we'll leave it at that with that phone number.
Yeah.
Astrid, okay. Amazing. It's really, really interesting work, and we look forward to seeing more publicity around how it gets done, etc. It's an amazing project. Astrid Treffry-Goatley, who is working in the concept of storytelling and ultimately what's considered to be faceless, I'm putting that inverted to commas, storytelling with regards to issues around HIV and AIDS and also gender violence and the like. And one male healthcare worker argued that if there was anonymity, then the stories would be less believable. I'm not convinced about that, and I think that the fact that there is an anonymity is hugely valuable to the people who are telling their stories, but also for us to start to understand it as universal concepts. I don't know what your thought is on that. You're welcome to contact us on 40938 or give us a call on 0891 104207.